content. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be in need. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Contentment. When you're agitated in mind, you appreciate contentment, don't you? When you're upset and when things are not going well and when you're in the depths of difficulties, then you think back and you say, oh, if I could just have a mind of contentment. Contentment must be understood properly. We're not really happy when people are contented with the status quo, are we? So we have to be careful in understanding what Paul is saying about the grace of contentment. We're glad that people were not contented with old means of transportation. I mean, I for one never saw a horse I couldn't fall off of. So I'm thankful that Henry Ford decided that people ought to drive instead of ride horses. And you would be very disappointed if all the inventors and scientists of the world suddenly said, you know, we're just content with what is, and we're not going to look for any improvement. This is not what he's talking about. He's not talking about being so content that one does not want to make improvements. Nor should we be content as Christians in the sense that we think we have arrived spiritually. It bothers me when some people believe that their knowledge of the Bible on a kindergarten level is all that they need to go through life. It just bothers me. Why are they contented with such an elementary and uninformed view of God's Word? I don't understand that. And as many years as I've spent in studying it, I still find great joy when an insight comes to my mind that I had not seen before in the Holy Scriptures. So in one sense, contentment is sort of something we don't want. And in other circumstances, contentment is what we very much desire. It is the idea that religion makes you content with the status quo that gave rise to Karl Marx's statement about religion, that it is the opiate of the people, because it teaches people not to think of making improvement or how improvement should be made. Contentment, in the sense that Paul uses it here, is very necessary and very helpful. In fact, you would find as you study the philosophies of men from ancient times on, that contentment was a very highly prized goal. In fact, the early Greek philosophers thought of it as the goal. Contentment to the Stoics was very important. They were, in contrast to the Epicureans in the early days of the New Testament, who believed in the idea that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and kind of... We have it in our own society as those who with the most toys win or something like that, of living your life fulfilling every desire that you have. There's quite an amazing dichotomy between those two approaches toward life, isn't there? The Stoics who say you must be content, and the Epicureans who say, you know, just whatever you want, that's what you're supposed to strive for. I first became introduced to the Stoic philosophy in a way that influenced me and has always influenced me. When I was a teenager in Western Oklahoma, I came across some tracts that were given to me. They were small, made out of paper, and they were biographies of famous people, and they were thoughts on different subjects, and there was a series that dealt with the most elementary forms of philosophy. And that's where I read first about Stoicism and also the Epicureans. And believe me, living in Western Oklahoma as a child of a Church of Christ minister, the Epicurean philosophy I thought won't work for me. The Stoics thought that the truly blessed person arrives at the point of contentment in with three understandings. Now, they taught, as Paul seems to teach here, by the way, that contentment is a learned grace. He said, I have learned. And I've pondered in my own mind in understanding human nature. Do you think human nature by nature itself is content, or do you think it's not content? Paul says it's a grace that I have learned by experience. And so the Stoics taught that it also was a grace that was learned. There are three stages or three steps in the most elementary form.